Christ is risen today.
Alleluia.
Our triumphant holy day.
Hello, my friend. This is Dan Riley joining you in the midst of the Easter season. We've moved and are still moving, I believe. I bet we are anyway, from a depth sense of winter and cold to the brightness and warmth of Easter. Yesterday, Good Friday, was beautiful here on the mountain, and Greg and I exchanged messages. Last night, when he and I were readying for this message we're sharing with you now, this time of brightness and lightness of Easter, he said, predictions of snow up your way. Well, the predictions were fulfilled, but not as much. But there's a covering of snow, a darkness of this day. And it's Holy Saturday as I share this with you. The certain fragility about this day, that what happened, and the uncertainty about the ground we stand on. And it's good to take time with that, because that's the reorientation of our lives. In fact, it might be moment by moment for you, or at least in this day. And so I'm with you, and we're with one another in that felt sense of life at times being in shambles, not being clear. In fact, you may be expecting guests for Easter supper, and so it might be hard to think about other things because you're in the middle of a house that needs to be cleaned or in the middle of cleaning that house and decided to take a moment and listen to a reflection. That deep sense of fullness and completion, of cleanness, of new life is what Paul is talking to about us and to us about in Romans 6, 3 to 11 for the Easter vigil. And he asks us boldly, because I'm not always there, and I'm going to guess you may not be, in the midst of shambles and difficulties, he says, wait a minute, are you not aware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And he continues on, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. He continues to say, this we know, our old selves were crucified with him. What a dramatic image. When our old self seems to be crucifying us and ripping ourselves apart, Christ has taken that on. And in the terrible sense of that sort of death that he endured for us, what is old in us, what holds us back, what keeps us from newness of life has been crucified. He continues on, might be destroyed, that we might live as slaves to sin no longer. Now, before you turn this off, let's think a little bit about what sin means. From our ancient tradition, the tradition that Jesus Christ walked in, that's the important word, he shows us the way. He draws you and me in if we wish to be his disciples. He's going to teach us the way, not just a direction, but the wholeness of life, this life beyond death, this new life. And in it comes with the cost of living beyond and leaving our old ways. And our old ways are that darkness called sin. It may not be details that we can remember easily, but we can feel the fact that my life hasn't been oriented right. I need to shift my direction. I want to get back on the path. I want to resume the deepest of my love relationships, my friendships in the world. Easter might even become a time of feeling the hope of the fact that we can go back and find healing from a year or month or 3 years ago where we somehow didn't forgive another, or they didn't us, or possibly that we hadn't forgiven ourselves. Easter is a time when hope rises up, not because all of a sudden we're seeing the light, ironically, but because we're still afraid and can feel darkness and be caught by it. And that's the counsel from the gospel given to us for the Easter vigil. In Mark, it's interesting that it closes this way. After the angel had talked about Christ going on before them into Galilee, sitting at the right side in an empty tomb, symbolizing the fact that Jesus now is at the right side of his Father, that he's risen, those poor women are bewildered and trembling. And because of their great fear, they said nothing to anybody. How often have I done that in my life? Tenuous about something, I might not. Now, friends of mine might say, no, he's always speaking, saying something, being bold. But underneath it, there's that trembling mentioned here, a bewilderment in our life. And that's true of this Saturday before Easter Sunday. This is this moment, possibly, when shambles or not yet clean or not back on the road as I'd like to be, or taken in, brought into that tomb, die, that you and I truly might rise. There's not one bit of our misdirection or confusion. It doesn't have to be the big sins. It has to be this ongoing sense of uncertainty, the sense of not me, I'm not called, I'm not blessed, I'm not graced, that God reaches into and says, don't be afraid. Take a little time and let that bewilderment be unwildered. Christ is risen, my sisters and brothers, and it remains, at least in part, he does remain with us, I believe, always to challenge and stir us from our fears and our confusion, our missing the mark and our holding back. It's so clear as we continue to hear the stories at Easter in the gospel and post-resurrection stories. We're hanging out somewhere with doors locked. We're not sure what to do next. We're really afraid, and it's okay. It's okay. In fact, it's important to feel that, because then we know we're really onto something big. And God is in us. God is life for us and for the light of the world. And the message really is this clear, that God and love, God's mercy, are everlasting, and that Christ is risen from the dead, and he has destroyed death forever, and you and I are no longer to wander around in the darkness, not to be belittled for our fears, but this wonderful being called out into the light of love. It's not easy. Maybe you bought your candy and you've colored your eggs and the house is clean. I mean, so many things. And the ham's not yet in the oven, or you're listening to this a while later and you've already had that Easter ham or whatever it was that you prepared. And now we're on to that preparation again. You see, it is a daily walking and not a redundancy. Not, oh, there I am again. The newness of this moment, when once again we're lifted up out of any place that might cling to us, as death would be inclined to, and we rise. We rise right here and now, right there and then. And you and I go about no longer self-concerned, our old selves, but challenging others, inviting them gently, because the house is dirty. And the church is in shambles, and the world is, and that's not a, oh, terrible are they, but it's a clearing and clarification and a call to restoration that's just so wonderful. It's not a judgment, it's an awareness. And that's where Paul began with us. Are you aware? And we're being invited into that. Are you not aware that we have been baptized into Christ? So that means plunged into the truth of this. So my sisters and brothers, rather than taking more time listening to me, listen to your heart. Greg and I are so delighted as the whole communications committee and the mountain to share the joy with you of Easter. But that's not just one layer color deep. That's the fullness and completion of the action of God's love for you and me. And then our opportunity to hear and believe and go forth and act and proclaim in the loving and everlasting mercy of our living God, to get back up on the road, to re-enter those relationships, because one has entered within us and will never, ever leave us alone. He is risen as he said, Alleluia, Alleluia. And he has gone on before us into Galilee and Alexandria, in Buffalo and Rochester, in Chicago, in Singapore, in Beijing, in Moscow, in Rome. He is there, and we will see him. And we will greet each other with great joy. Easter joy, the love and peace of our risen Lord. Dan Riley, just so glad to share these times with you. Share them with others. The Lord give you peace.
Jesus Christ is risen today.
Alleluia.
Our triumphant holy day.
Alleluia.
Who did once upon the cross.
Alleluia.
Suffered to redeem our loss.
Alleluia.
Hymns of praise then let us sing.
Alleluia.
Unto Christ our heavenly King.
Alleluia.
Who endured the cross and the grave.
Alleluia.